Okay, we're ready to go, Patrick, and you're going to give us the history of road funding in the state of Oregon as compared particularly, I guess, with other states. So when you're ready, proceed.
That's correct. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. As a consultant, I've given...
Would you introduce yourself for the record? I've failed on this so far.
In case all of you don't know, my name is Patrick Balducci. I have worked for ODOT and worked on site with the Federal Highway Administration in the past and in the private sector as a consultant for the last 5 years. And in doing so, I prepared a presentation which was a historical overview of Oregon's transportation highway tax system, I should say. And I shared this information with Senator George there, and he thought it would be a good idea for me to deliver this presentation to the committee here. I'd like to note that my presentation has been enhanced by materials prepared and delivered to me by Mr. Richard Yates, who's with the Legislative Revenue Office. And if you ask me any questions that I don't have an answer for, hopefully we have a finance expert as well in the audience here, Mr. Mike Marsh from the Oregon Department of Transportation. So that's it. Oregon has a long history of being a pioneer in the area of road finance. Oregon was the first state in the nation to enact a gas tax in 1919. It was the first state in the nation to perform a highway cost allocation study in 1935. And Oregon also adopted the nation's first weight mile tax in 1948. In 1952, the voters of Oregon reaffirmed the cost responsibility principle and the user pays principle in a vote where they voted by a 4-to-1 margin to retain weight mile taxes in the state of Oregon. And in the same year, they voted by a 2-to-1 margin to actually increase the rates on weight mile taxation in the state of Oregon. Between 1919 and 1981, which is 62 years, the Oregon gas tax was only increased 6 cents. So as of 1981, it was only 7 cents per gallon. Between 1982 and 1993, 11 years, it was increased 17 cents in a relatively short amount of time. Since that time, there have been no additional rate increases. Measure 76 was passed by the voters, a 54-46 margin in 1999, and what that measure did was put a clause in the Constitution which provides that the legislature shall review the highway tax structure every 2 years and shall adopt adjustments that it deems to be in order to ensure fairness and proportionality. So later in this committee, you'll be hearing about the highway cost allocation study, and one of the responsibilities of this committee will be to address that cost responsibility study and enact adjustments to ensure that we have a fair and proportionate tax system. And I'm sure you're all well aware of what Measure 82 did. It repealed the 5 cent gas, the law that had the 5 cent gas tax increase and the weight mile tax repeal in it. And that was an 88-12 margin. Now, the first two steps in this slide effectively provide the foundation for the transportation tax system in the state of Oregon. The tax system is founded on the principles of fairness and equity through the user pays concept, which states that those who use roads should pay for them, and the highway cost allocation study, which is performed every 2 years to allocate costs and determine how those rates should be set, how the first tier rate should be set. Now, above that is the three-tiered system of taxation, which is in place here in the state of Oregon. It's a low fixed registration fee, which historically had been set to capture collection costs, and fuel taxes, which are paid by all vehicles weighing up to 26,000 pounds. But for trucks weighing in excess of 26,000 pounds, there's a weight mile tax system in the state of Oregon, which is based on the highway cost allocation study findings, would be required to capture the additional costs that these heavy trucks impose on the roadway network. Now, the user pays concept is quite evident here in this slide, which shows that for fiscal year 2002, 88% of the revenues that will be deposited into the highway fund are tied to vehicle operation in the state of Oregon. And this is unique. In many other states, they have personal property taxes on vehicles, the vehicle excise taxes. There's also higher registration fees, typically, and other forms of taxation as well. In Oregon, 12% of the receipts are tied to vehicle ownership registration fees. Now, as stated previously, highway user fees in the state of Oregon are constitutionally dedicated to the State Highway User Fund, and those funds must be used for the construction, operation, and maintenance and administration of the road system in the state of Oregon. And the second bullet point is what Ballot Measure 76 did, which was to put the cost responsibility concept into the Constitution. Now, this is only with respect to basic and heavy vehicles, though. So it doesn't require that the rates have to be exactly fair and proportionate throughout the user tax system, just that between those vehicles weighing less than 8,000 pounds, that they're paying their fair share, and those vehicles weighing in excess of 8,000 pounds as a total class, that they're paying their fair share as well. Now, the definition of cost responsibility, as expressed in an ODOT publication, is the principle that those who use the road system should pay for it, and that payments from road users should be in proportion to the road costs for which they are responsible. And traditionally, in the state of Oregon, that has applied to everyone. And so what that means is each of the 2,000-pound weight increments that are studied in the highway cost allocation study, their rates are actually adjusted, typically, as fuel taxes are adjusted up and down. So it's not just a static system. And also, that means within the heavy vehicle classes, for example, that the low-mileage trucks are paying their fair share and the high-mileage trucks are paying their fair share. Oregon was the first state in the nation to conduct a highway cost allocation study. We have conducted 12 highway cost allocation studies, which is twice as many as any other state in the nation, and I think four times as many as the federal government has conducted. And the 2001 study is coming and will likely be before this committee within the next month for your consideration. Now, this is just an illustrative cost responsibility split. It was from a draft on the present study, and the numbers have changed since this was done. But what this shows is that vehicles above 8,000 pounds are responsible for about, in this example, 37.9% of the costs that are imposed on the road system, and the light vehicles are responsible for 62.1%. Now I'd like to focus on the user fees themselves. Once again, this is a three-tiered tax structure with the emphasis on use-related taxes. Oh, okay. This was added at the last moment, by the way, so this is an addendum to your packet. Apparently, it fell out of mine, so I apologize. But what this shows is the historical shift over the years. In 1974, you see that the heavy vehicle share was relatively low and then increased significantly for the next study. What happened there was when they got rid of parks and the state police from the highway cost allocation study. And historically, those costs were allocated, as they say, or the responsibilities were passed along to the vast majority of them anyway, about 93%, to the motorists. And so that changed the outcome of the study when they took that out of the highway budget. And what you see since then is a continual drop in the heavy vehicle responsibility. So that's what I wanted to show with that slide. Okay, now I'd like to focus on the highway user taxes themselves in the three-tiered tax structure. Presently in the state of Oregon, the fuel tax is 24 cents per gallon. Weight mile tax-paying vehicles, of course, are exempt. Registration fees are set extremely low. $15 per year is a relative bargain compared to what people are paying across the country. And the weight mile tax, which of course is a graduated fee based on the weight of your vehicle, ranges from 3.5 cents approximately at 26,000 pounds, all the way up to almost 17 cents for the right configuration, weighing 105,500 pounds. Because we collect the vast majority of our revenues through the fuel tax, Oregon presently has tied for the seventh highest fuel tax in the nation at 24 cents. However, this fact can be deceiving. ODOT did a study that looked at all the taxes that are tied to vehicle ownership and operation, and when you factor in things like sales taxes on the purchase of a vehicle or vehicle excise taxes and registration fees and other local taxes, Oregon is the lowest tax incidence state of the seven states that were analyzed in this study, down around 26 cents, ranging from the low of 26 all the way up to 79 cents for California. Now, this is broken down on like a per gallon basis. So they went ahead and took the registration fees and vehicle excise taxes and made some assumptions about the average amount of gallons that are consumed by motor vehicles and then broke it down to a per gallon tax. And that's what this shows, how low Oregon is. As I've noted previously in my presentation, Oregon is very unique. The user pays principle is not consistently implemented throughout the country, and as a result, there are only four states in the nation who presently impose weight distance taxes. And in fact, Oregon is the only state in the nation that does not impose a diesel tax on vehicles weighing in excess of 26,000 pounds. In New Mexico and Kentucky and New York, they also impose diesel taxes, and the weight mile tax is only used as a mechanism to bridge the gap between cost responsibility and actual tax payments. The seven states that are shown in yellow there had weight mile taxes and got rid of them either through the legislative or the legal process. In a few states, Arkansas and Nevada and Idaho, the weight mile tax was implemented in what was deemed to be an unconstitutional manner when they had two side-by-side rate structures where they charged one class of vehicles this rate. If you hauled this, you paid this rate per mile, and another one that they would charge for other commodity carrying vehicles. And in Oregon, the weight mile tax structure is not like that. There is one schedule for all weight mile tax paying vehicles in the state of Oregon. Now, what this shows is the actual weight mile tax rates. And you see this curve here that slopes sharply upward, showing an increasing, that the tax rates increase at an increasing rate as you get into the heavier vehicle classes. And what this shows is the significant burden or damage that the heaviest vehicles impose on the system. And that's, of course, based on empirical data that's used in the highway cost allocation study. And what it also shows there is that in the above 80,000-pound group, and by the way, 80,000-pound truck is paying about 12 cents a mile in weight mile taxes. What it also shows in the above 80,000-pound group there is that if you add axles to your configuration, you actually pay a reduced rate. So it has what's called Schedule B, where you're paying not only based on the weight of your vehicle, but the number of axles on your truck as well, because the way it works with pavement damage is the more axles that you add to the configuration, the more the shock of the truck going across the pavement is distributed across the pavement, and therefore the damage is less penetrating and severe to the pavement.
Patrick, yep. Can we go back to that? Is that a big problem? Now, if we look down at 9-plus axles and those rates, what it appears to be indicating is that if you, in fact, reduce those axle weights, we reward you by less tax. Is that fair?
Yes, and beyond that, Mr. Chairman, is an incentive to hopefully provide some sort of incentive for you to add those axles. So, yes, the idea is to give them an opportunity to save wear and tear on the system, and also save money while doing so. So with regard to where we compare to other states, I think this is a study that was done by ODOT, and I think this makes perfect sense from a standpoint of what you would expect from the findings. What they looked at was some examples here, if you looked at certain vehicle weight classes and distance in miles for each of those weight classes, and looked at all the taxes that are tied to vehicle ownership and operation. And keep in mind that if you're number one, that means you're the highest tax state in the nation. What we have is, because we have the low fixed costs and the higher per mile cost, because it's tied to a use-related tax, is, of course, you see the high mileage trucks, the 80,000 miles, the ones doing 80,000 miles a year. When you consider those, we're actually up there quite a ways, 16th, 13th, and then at the heaviest weight, first in the nation. So the tax structure in Oregon is designed to capture the cost that these heavier vehicles impose on the system. And while doing so, that means that the heaviest vehicles that do the most miles pay much more in Oregon than they typically do in other states. So in review, Oregon has been traditionally been a pioneer in the area of road finance, and the user pays concept is a cornerstone in a system designed to ensure equity and to ensure that road users pay their fair share of road costs. And finally, the Oregon Constitution guarantees that highway user funds in Oregon will be dedicated to the state highway fund, and that those funds will be used on roads. So there's a direct connection between the use of the highway system and then the payment for the services that are provided within that highway system. And then last, as stated previously, we have among one of the highest motor fuel taxes in the nation, but once again, that's deceiving, because once you consider all forms of taxation that are imposed on lighter vehicles, Oregon tax rates are among the lowest in the nation for automobiles. And then when you look at the heavy truck tax rates, the tax rates, because they're relatively low when it comes to fixed, but higher when it is considering the variable or per mile charges, tax rates are relatively low for lighter trucks who do less damage, and then the low mileage seasonal operators, but then are among the highest in the nation when it comes to the heaviest trucks and the high mileage trucks that do more damage to the roadway system. And with that, I'd like to open up for questions, please.
Mr. Chair?
Oh, certainly.
First of all, Peter, this is a good presentation. Thanks, heaven, for television here, and
thank you, Senator,
and for getting this in advance as listening to your deal. I mean, I think it's a real good analysis of kind of where we're at. And I know, being a new member of the Transportation Committee, this is really helpful to have something put as concisely and succinctly as you did, and understandable for those who haven't been involved in that. Also, just wanted to make comment. I'm so pleased that Patrick's with us, because you know your kind of interest and expertise on this issue is really going to help me, especially as a new member of this committee. So I just appreciate how you put things together in a very understandable way.
Well, thank you for allowing me to present the information.
Looks like everybody's fine. You can come back
okay.
up here.
All right. Thank you,
Patrick. Thank you. There is a major issue, and you saw the one page that describes why we have the system we do, and that is the concept of fairness. And I know that's going to be a major consideration as we move forward to evaluate some of the issues that will come before us. And I hope that we can say at the end of this session that whatever decisions we've made, that they've been based on the same kind of fairness. My way to describe it is, if you wreck it, pay for it. And that, by the way, that is one reason we're going to be looking at studded snow tires and the amount of damage that they do, and maybe ways to curb the use of those tires. And so we'll be dealing with that issue too. Is there anything further to come before this committee? If not, we will be adjourned.